The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Rejoice and be glad in it. It's so good to see everyone here. Good to have our worship team back. Yay! Back from COVID land. Don't do it there anymore. Man, they've been visiting. That's the second time they made that trip, and they don't need to go there anymore. So we speak words of faith that won't happen anymore. Hey, Danny! How are you? Good to see you. You're back.
Hey, Danny.
Hi, Diana. As soon as you start carrying a gun, I'll recognize you, too. Good to see everybody here, and Kathy, and Nick, and just, what a wonderful day. We get to go to church, huh? Man, all the places you could be.
Nothing's better than church.
I agree with that. I am a happy guy today. It's Valentine's. You know, when Pat and I started dating and got serious and we're getting married, I explained something about me that she didn't know. I don't remember stuff. It's not old age. This was when I was in my 20s. So we made an agreement that I didn't have to remember anything but one day, and that was Valentine's. But I don't have to remember anniversaries or birthdays or anything. So I remember Valentine's from honey over there. So I'm always excited because it's a holiday for us that I remember. Now Christmas and Easter, I get help from everybody else. But birthdays, and I don't do a very good job. So at any rate, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into worship.
You remember now.
Huh?
You remember now.
Yeah.
Much better than
him. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for rescuing us from all the places we've been. Thank you that Miss Brand's on the road to recovery from an automobile accident, Lord. Thank you for preserving her life. Thank you, Father, for keeping her. Lord, let her heal. Just quickly let all the pain and discomfort and broken bones just heal up, Lord, and she'll be back to her old self once again, feeling good. Thank you for the fact that COVID is mild for Becky and Roe, and pray that it will never happen to them again for anyone. And thank you for bringing us here this morning, this beautiful, beautiful day. Lord, let everything that's done here today bring honor and glory to you. For we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all the kids said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Remember how to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was a bad cold, and my voice was really low. I could sing this note. Listen to this. I could sing that lower note, which is one note higher than the lowest bass note could put. I could sing bass last week. Okay, burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me.
how like doing that song reminded me of the testimony that I gave after we went through the fast in January. And I was thinking how my friend at my prayer group told me there's fear and there's faith. And in every situation, we just have to choose to have faith. And you know, that's helped me to remember that every time when I see I'm getting into worrying or fretting about a situation, I go, no, I choose to have faith. I choose, even with the fire that you just started that testimony about how your house just burnt on Tuesday. Even in that, while we were singing this, I was thinking, God is gonna turn that into something good. Gonna get the whole house renovated for insurance money, or something good is going to come out of that situation. Everything that we're walking through, I just believe so strong. Even Ro and I being sick, you get a lot of time to pray and talk to God when you go through something like that. And it was good. It was good. We rested in Him, knowing that He was taking care of it all. It's only embarrassing because we go to Doctor's Urgent Care on Robert Road, and that was like the fourth time we've had to go in there on a Saturday night. This poor doctor, I think he thinks that's what we do for recreation. Saturday nights is go to Urgent Care. Like, we walk in and he goes, "What is it now?" But thank you, Jesus. We are healed, and maybe we're going to lead that doctor to the Lord. Who knows? We've been seeing a lot of him lately. So anyway, just remember that as you go through your week. Choose faith. Choose faith. Choose faith in every situation. Thank you, Lord.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. Been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. You've got pain. He's a pain taker. You feel lost. He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison Savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Hallelujah.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run the things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. Thank you. Somebody testify. Yeah. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You got pain.
How great is Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. How great. How great.
City. Thank you for Slidell, Louisiana.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence here.
Yes, Lord.
All the wonderful things you've done for us, for this community. Lord, it's always so good when other people visit here to say that they just hadn't seen a place like this before. The move of you, your divine presence is evident everywhere. You're the God of creation, for sure. But you're the God of maintenance, Lord, and maintaining this city. And we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
How great you are, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you for our mayor, our godly man, for his wife Peggy, Lord. Thank you for our godly men and women and our city council. Lord, I know the election's going on. I ask you to give us some more godly people to fill in for those that are leaving office. Thank you for our godly chief of police, Randy Fanner.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for him and for his wife, Lord. What a delight they are. Well, there's so many. We could spend the day just naming people. Our coroner, our DA, others. Oh, God, people who know you will love you, Lord. Who watch over our town and our city and our parish. We thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for our church. Thank you for everyone that's here. Everyone that calls this place home. Lord, I ask you to protect us, Lord. Thank you that in making Kathy's house, Lord, when it caught a fire down in New Orleans, that nobody was hurt. Damage, sure, but nobody was hurt, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that they're fine, that their daughter who was there is fine. Lord, thank you for rescuing Fran, Lord, from that automobile accident. It could have been, if it wasn't for the seatbelt that was on, the way Tommy explained it, we'd probably be talking about a funeral today. That car demolished. It's amazing that she was able to get out of that alive. And we thank you, Lord. So much to be thankful for. Thank you for our recovery from sickness. Pray for those who are sick, who can't come here, Lord. For various sundry reasons, I ask you to bless them. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that's being poured out without measure upon Jim, Lord, as he lost his lovely wife, Lord, a couple of weeks ago now. Thankful that we know she's safe in Father's arms. Thank you, Lord. How great you are. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And we pray together. In the wonderful name of Jesus, everybody said, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Hallelujah.
Pastor, can I say something?
Every time I hear that song, it's really encouraging. Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering if I could say something.
Sure.
Okay.
Can you come up here and say it?
Yeah.
Because nobody will see you and nobody will hear you.
Okay, so anyway.
You've got to turn around.
Okay. So I just want to say something. I know we all believe for certain things in our lives, and we're standing for it. Sometimes we don't see it. Well, we don't see it when we want to see it. And we can have those dark days when we wake up and we're like, Lord, when? And I just wanted to encourage everybody that when we say, Lord, when, it's already done.
Yeah.
It's already done. He's already done it. And that's when we need to turn around, when we feel like we're in that darkness. And just like the song said about when Jesus speaks or God speaks, what does it say? Like the trembles?
Yeah, the darkness
the
trembles.
The darkness trembles.
Yeah.
Well, when we're in that dark place where we feel like we're in the dark place, we're not. We need to continue to speak his word because he gives us the right to use his word, to speak his word.
Amen.
So we need to stop in our tracks and speak the word, even when we don't feel like it.
Amen.
Because it's already done and it's going to happen.
Amen.
So that's my testimony. So next time I'm up here, I'm going to be giving my testimony. Of
Amen. You can testify anytime you want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Donna. Good word. Good word. Yes.
I have a prayer request for my friend, Jamie.
We can't hear you from back there.
I have a prayer request.
She
is a prayer request.
Jamie, my daughter Mindy, you know, she had cancer.
Well, oh, Mindy with the cancer?
Yeah, and now it's in her lungs. She's 38 years old.
Okay. What's her name?
Mindy.
Mindy. Let's pray for Mindy right now. Yes, yes. Father, we do lift up Mindy to you. Lord, I don't know this lady that I know of, but you know her, Lord, since she was conceived in her mother's womb. And Lord, I ask you to drive this cancer out of her body. In the natural, it doesn't seem possible, but in the kingdom, all things are possible. I ask you to drive this cancer out of Mindy, Lord, out of her lungs, out of her kidneys, or wherever else it be moving around. I ask you to drive it out, Father. Restore her to her family, to her children. Lord, let her be in divine health. Lord, I lift up the name of John Bogle. Lord, I saw you heal him from cancer that had riddled his entire body. And in one instant, all the cancer was gone, Lord. I saw it with my own eyes, testified to by the doctors, Lord. So I know you're in the miracle working business. So just pray for me to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
Testimony, please.
Sure. Come on up here. Always good to get good news.
Well, most of you all know that I have 12 grandchildren. The oldest one.
We can't count that high.
And it's such a blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
But I want to tell you that God is so faithful. Amen. You know, we pray for our kids, and then when we get the extra blessings, we pray for our grands. My oldest grandson proposed to his girl. They're planning to get married in September.
Hallelujah.
Well, in this crazy housing market, they have been looking for a house, and they have been outbid on so very many houses, probably 15 houses.
Really?
Crazy, by $40,000, $50,000 over asking, which is an exaggerated asking price anyway. Well, I stepped up my prayers. You know, I was praying for them. I was praying that they would use the 9-10 months of the engagement before the wedding to talk about all those things that don't come up as a surprise later on. Like, how are we going to raise these kids? Anyway, so I just changed my prayers. I stepped up my prayers. They found a house 10 minutes from my daughter's house.
Wow.
In Tickfa. It is a gorgeous little house. It was a for sale by owner, no elevated prices. It's right at where it should be in market value. That's prayer number one, answered. Prayer number two has always been for JP, my oldest grandson. I've never seen this boy happy. He had some issues as a child, some brain disconnections that had to be reworked. And so we always knew he was a little bit
different.
I don't want to say different. He just, and not slow. He's very intelligent, but his emotions didn't line up with his actions a lot of times. And that's not even a good description of it either. I got a text of the engagement photos. I have never seen a smile on my grandson's face.
Whoa.
As big as in the engagement photos.
Oh.
I can't wait to show y'all.
Oh.
Prayer number three, switching daughters. We're going to Rebecca now. Her firstborn, Savannah, was in a dating relationship with a young man, and watching the parents putting boundaries, I'm reflecting back on how difficult it was for me, because at the time that Rebecca was that age, I didn't have a man in my life. There was not a father figure for her to be led by. She sends me a text on her mama's birthday that says, "What do you do when you want to leave both houses? Her mom and dad are separated, and both parents have remarried. And between the two original parents, there are now 5 children. And they all get along, the five great work great at Becca's, the five work great at James's. And it's wonderful. God has answered that prayer. That's not my praise report. My praise report is, Savannah said, what do you do when you want to leave both houses and move away? This is a little girl who's not quite 16 yet. My text back to her was, I'm at the birthday party for my daughter. Grown-up party. No kids allowed. First of all, pray. You have a heavenly Father who cares about you and knows what you need. Second of all, can we talk? Had the opportunity to talk yesterday. Little girl poured her heart out, and I saw, as a response to my prayers in the last couple of days, a growth from this point of almost the two-year-old little sister that she has, I want my way, to this point, well, I know Mom and Dad are watching out for me, and Big and Kara are watching out for me. I know that, but I sometimes, don't you just want to scream? And I said, honey, in families where the parents aren't together, teenagers just want to scream. And they just want to leave. It's part of growing up. Really, Mimi? I said, yeah, baby, your world is not as different as you think it is. So she was just, it did this grandmother's heart delight to know that God is in the grandmother prayer answering business.
Thank you. Wow. That's why they call them grandchildren. Which I should have told them, not only do the kids want to scream, but the parents do scream. Well, praise God. Got a special treat for you this morning. Good friend of mine, David Howitz. He is with the Gideon's International. He's with local chapter here at Slidell. He's the vice president of that chapter. I'd given him a promotion. I thought he was the vice president of Gideon's International because he invited me to the international banquet they had. Yes. Remember we went to that? One of the best things I've ever done to see the top brass for the Gideon's. And they all got the same story. It's all about the Word of God. It's all about the Bible. Amen. And their stories are just amazing. Whenever I bring Gideon in, and they don't always know, and I love to tell the story, I'm spiritually a product from the Gideons vicariously through the man who led me to the Lord, Jim Hickman. He was at a place in his life where he didn't know which way to go. He was very distraught, went to a hotel, opened the drawer, the Gideon Bible was there. He prayed, reading that Gideon's Bible, and got the answers he needed for his life, and went into full-time Christian service there. And I got to meet him many years later, and led me to the Lord. So I've always had a very special place in my heart, the Gideon's, and we usually have them here a lot more than we. It's been a while since Gideon's been here, but that's not their fault. It's the world's fault with COVID and all the other things that are going on. But today we have David with us, and so let's give him a really good New Beginnings welcome. Come on up here.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'd like to start with the scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flowers fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Amen. Good morning, New Beginnings family. It is quite a privilege to stand before you and represent the Gideon International Ministry all over this world. We serve in over 200 countries, and we have 200,000 volunteers that one mission and one mission only, and that is to get God's word into every human being's hands that we can. Since 1899, when we first started this ministry, we have been blessed to give over 2 billion Bibles, and that's with a B. And we're continuing that same journey. We go to anywhere we can. We go from cradle to grave. What I mean by cradle, we get into the hospitals. We get into schools. Now, we can't go into the schools, but we can go to project graduation. because it's a private organization. And we give every graduating senior in Slidell, Lacombe, and Pearl River a Bible, and we shake their hand and thank them and congratulate them, because graduating is a big deal for a young man or a young woman. And we are blessed to even have that opportunity to do that. We go to hotels, we go to nursing homes, homeless shelters, and prisons. Anywhere that we're invited, we take the opportunity to go. Why? Because we love Jesus and we want his word to be shared. Instead of me giving a bunch of testimonies, I found this archive testimony. It's about 3 minutes long. It's from Ron Archer. And you talk about a man that had a very, very poor beginning in life. He was the low of the lows. But Jesus Christ changed his life around in such a powerful way that I think it's worth you watching this for 3 minutes.
We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction and there's a mistake. The pimp said, you can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby. They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. Baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it was the word. That baby was me.
Oh, wow.
I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom. She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of his word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean by taking heed according to your word? Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes, I was born a trick baby. But the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the word of God.
Amen. If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what does. I'm ready to go hand out Bibles right now. You may be asking what you can do to help the Gideons. First and foremost, I can tell just from the testimonies that were shared this morning, this is a praying church. Yes. Pray for us. Amen. All these doors that are open, they can close like that. Yes. One different hotel owner, one different prison warden, can change the focus and say, no, you're not welcome here. So pray for us, please. Gideon cards. I noticed that Pastor Morris in the church has a Gideon card rack in the very back. Please grab a card and give a donation. It goes strictly 100% to Bibles. No overhead, no other fees, strictly for Bibles all over the world. Third, you could serve as a member of the Gideons. We're small, but as the Gideon name is, God don't want it too big. Because he wants all the glory.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He doesn't want this to be a 100-man organization. He gives 6 men in Slidell this whole area from Lacombe to Pearl River to Slidell. And we just walk it out. We continue to go and share God's word. Join us if you feel in your heart. Finally, $5 can buy a Bible and we can put it in the hands all over this world. I'd like to share a testimony. I told you we go from cradle to grave. One of my favorite places to always go is the nursing homes of our society. It seems to be the areas that people seem to forget.
Yeah, that's right.
We put people in these places and just kind of, you know, we did our best and we don't go see them. And never fails when we go to visit, I always get some testimony or somebody touch me that just keeps me going. This is a letter from a grateful son. And he wrote it to the Gideons, and it says, my father worked long, hard hours on the farm. He suffered a stroke at 87 that left him paralyzed on the left side of his body. His mind and speech were left intact, but the use of his body was not. He could not roll over, sit up, nor grasp anything that was not within the reach of his right hand. Even with medication, he was in excruciating pain most of the time. He felt trapped and miserable. When we arrived at the nursing home, I was putting Dad's clothes in the chest by his bed. It was then I found a Gideon Place Bible in the drawer. Spiritually, my dad never had a regular church-going attitude. However, reading this Bible became a staple for my father. In the coming days and months ahead, my father read and consumed God's Word. During this time, I witnessed a major change in my dad. He grew closer to God. And would even ask the visitors that came to see him to read the Bible with him and pray with him. My father passed away this past November. I know my dad's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my family is forever grateful for the Gideon Place Bible that prepared my dad for eternity with Jesus.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Wow.
When we go into the nursing homes as a mission field, I feel like we're snatching people almost from the fire if they don't believe in Jesus. And this letter obviously means a lot to us to keep us going. I'd like to thank you all for opening your church to us and always being 100% Gideon for us. We thank you. We thank Pastor Morris and First Lady Pat. They're known all over the city. And you are so blessed to have them in your lives because they make a difference, not here in just New Beginnings. They make it all over the North Shore. Thank you so much. God bless.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, Robert, you know where the basket is underneath the cabinet? Right there, sitting right next to you, there's a basket. I want you to put it on the little stool that's right next to you. That one, yeah, that one.
Your mic's not on.
My mic's not on. Oh, okay. Thank you for telling me. Put it in the middle of the doorway. There we go. Now, whatever, as you leave here today, or once you put an offering in that basket for the Gideons, whatever you put in there, we'll go directly to them. If they want to make out a check, should they make it out to Gideons?
Yes.
Yeah, just make a check out to the Gideons, and we'll count it up after the services, and we'll give it to you, David. You can use it as you see fit. God, aren't you glad that God's got a keyboard and not one note?
Yeah.
You know, he plays a lot of different notes, and we're all part of it, and we, through the Gideons, through churches, through organizations, throughout the world, God is playing a symphony of getting his word out to people so that they can come to Christ. And the Gideons have just wonderful stories of how God does things. This guy, I heard this guy telling his testimony, and I thought, I got to get up and preach it for that guy. Everything I say is going to be shallow in the natural, but in the supernatural, it'll do us all good. We started last week a series about eternal love, and that love is eternal. And last week, we're using the book of Ruth as our passages to go through. And we saw that Ruth made this amazing, amazing commitment. You know, she said it to her mother-in-law. Pat, you need to plug this mic in for me, okay? Said that your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you go, I'll go. And nothing but death will separate me from you. And we need to be committed people and make commitments to things. We make a commitment as a husband and wife. We make commitment when we have children. We make commitments to take care of those kids. We make commitments to our employers to be a good employee. We need to make commitments to God and keep those commitments. You know, he keeps his commitment to us, and so we should make our commitment to him. So that's what Ruth did. And where I want to pick up in the story of Ruth is that this is about love that lasts for all eternity, and that there are rewards that go along with eternal love, all right? So the rewards of eternal love. Let's look at the text we're using. Let's see here. There we go. Ruth chapter 2, verse 13. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. This is Ruth speaking to Boaz, okay? And so that relationship is building. I didn't take time to read the whole chapters to you, but if you get a chance, go read the whole chapter. In fact, read it in the Message if you have the Message Bible. The wording is just amazing. It says, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. Boy, she didn't have a good picture of herself. You know, she was kind of at the bottom of the food chain. But in a land far away from the presence of God, a young woman made a commitment that would change the course of history. You know, you never know how the world can be changed. I've read Billy Graham's autobiography and had the privilege of going to his library up in the Carolinas on a couple of occasions. And he never had an image of himself the way we saw him. We see he was this great evangelist who changed the world. And he said, I was just a poor country boy who received Christ into his life, and God decided to use me. So any commitment you make, God will use it in ways that you'd never expect. We saw an alien girl. She was poor. She was alone, except for her mother-in-law, begging for leftover grain in a field, just getting what was left over along the fence line, if you will. And God intervened and changed the course of history through this young girl. It reminded me of a similar story. One day when Jesus was ministering, this woman showed up and she said, Jesus, my daughter is dying. Would you do something? And he said, lady, I was called to the people of Israel. And, what you're asking is out of my purview. I'm not here for you. And she said, but I believe that that you can do something. Let me read from it. This, I don't have it on the overhead. This is from Matthew 15, 25 and 28. And this is from the Message. I really like the way the Message put it. Then the woman came back to Jesus and went to her knees and begged, "Master, help me." He said, "It is not right to take the bread out of the children's mouths and throw it to dogs." I mean, what a way to build a church. Just call a lady a dog. I mean, it just... the imagery here is amazing. She was quick. "You're right, Master, but beggar dogs do get scraps from the master's table." Jesus gave in. "Oh, woman, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get." Right then, her daughter became well. So God is finding people who don't think much of themselves, and maybe others don't think a whole lot of them, but transforming them and answering their prayers and doing things they never expected. Boaz showed up, and things began to change. Let me put this in context for you. In that area, Boaz was Donald Trump. He had all the money in the world, all right? He was a wealthy man, he was benevolent, and he helped people. And Boaz, like Jesus, his ancestor, proclaimed blessings where there were curses. He gave acceptance where there was rejection. He offered prosperity where there was poverty, and rewards where there were consequences. He changed things around 180 degrees in another direction. So I want us to look this morning at how God rewards those who make commitments through his eternal love. Remember, he does it all. Ruth was noticed by Boaz and by God. Chapter 2, verse 11. Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before." Our actions are sometimes unseen by others, but they're seen by God. And God moves heaven and earth to have his will worked out in our lives. Boaz knew about Ruth. She was the talk of the town. She didn't realize it. This gal from Nowheresville who didn't belong there, a Moabite, for goodness sake, what is she doing here? I mean, she was... The Jews were not very friendly, I got to tell you that, when it came to other people. I mean, God said, "You're a chosen people," and they were given instructions not to intermarry with other people, and they carried it a little bit too far because they didn't want to be around anyone. Remember Jesus when he had to go to Samaria, the disciples would scratch their head and say, "What are we doing going here? This is not where we belong." You know, these people, and they would use the name Samaritan almost like a curse word. That's the way they felt about it. But Jesus had an appointment in that place to meet the woman at the well, and you know that story. So Boaz knew what was happening. Boaz is a type and a shadow of Christ. I mentioned that to you last week. Our prayers of commitment are heard by God, and the promise to serve him opens the door to blessings we cannot see. You have no idea what God has planned for you until you make a commitment to serve him, and it begins to open doors. I won't go through my testimony this morning, but you've heard me say that I was reaching for the riches of this world. I came up poor and uneducated, got an education. I wanted to be successful. That was my goal. And I made my goal in many ways, but I was without Christ, and my castles crumbled. And I went down to the bottom. And it was there that Christ came into my life and changed me. And all the things that I wanted before, that I didn't care about anymore, God poured out in my life. He's given me things that I just never dreamed. For you to say that people know my name is Slidell, it's a wonder they don't know it because it was in the paper under the wanted.
heading, you know? It always amazes me when somebody says something about like that about me, because the only thing I've ever wanted since August the 8th on a Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon in 1972, I've only wanted to do one thing, and that's to serve God. That's my motivation. That's what makes me get up every day. So he sees suffering and he sees the disappointment. God does. And Boaz did. But God showed up because everyone is important. Do you know that you're important to God? You know, sometimes we have a bad image. Sometimes you grow up in the wrong household, just like the guy in the video. You know, you're nothing but trash, you're no good, you're worthless, you're hopeless. But when God sees you, he sees the potential to do great and wonderful things. When I was had my boating accident and I was in the hospital, and I really wasn't doing very well physically. You let the motor on your outboard on your boat run over you, it'll tear you up pretty good. And I was in the hospital, and Pat and I were dealing with what the future would be. And a friend of mine, her name is Jenny Penson, and her husband, came to the hospital to visit me. And it was late, and no one was there. And I've got to tell you, we had people standing room only at the hospital that had come up to pray for us and care for us. Many people couldn't even get in the room. But they came late and they came in. And Jenny is a singer. And she sang a song to me, a cappella. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but I want to read some verses of the song. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And that song from that dear sweet girl reminded me and Pat of who we were, and that God wasn't finished with us yet, and that he had other plans. And if he can watch over the lowly sparrow that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6, certainly he watches over you. Kathy, it doesn't matter about a house being burned. You know, doesn't matter automobile accidents, Tommy. You know, doesn't matter whether you get COVID. These are things that we all deal with in life. But his eye is on you. And he sees you, he sees your needs. He saw Ruth, he saw her crawling on her knees, getting food. And he sent somebody she'd only dream of meeting, Mr. Boaz. And he showed up. Ruth found something else. Ruth received favor from Boaz and from God. So she tells him she's a nobody. Why would you even bother talking to me? And he says, so Boaz says to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go in somebody else's field. And don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? That should be all of our response to God. Why would you care about me? Who am I that you're interested in me and in my life? Our God is wealthy beyond measure and gracious to give you all you need and more. Remember our famous word we learned several years ago? Un papa ratio is hyper grace. He gives you more. I explained to you in that sermon that he gives you more, and that Greek word means something that can't be counted. You can't count the stars in the heavens, and you can't count the blessings that God is pouring out in your life. And it's much more. It can't be compared to anything else. The blessings of God cannot be compared to the trinkets of this world. We look at automobiles and houses and bank accounts, and God looks at the souls of people just like you, men and women, that he wants to bless beyond measure. And I know sometimes we think, God, where are you? Couldn't you move that car so a friend didn't get in a wreck? Couldn't you cause the boat motor to stop and not hit my arm? Couldn't all these things have happened? But God takes the things of this world that we call disaster and turns them around for good. So all things work together for good. He didn't say they were good, but they all work together in the kingdom for good. If it's just as much as meeting a guy at the gym the other day who was missing his left arm, and he was an African-American man. And as soon as I saw him, you know, I always lighten up. This is terrible. I always brighten up when I see people missing an arm. You know, somebody I can really commiserate with. And I went up to him, and you know, I told him, he said, we make a matching set. And he got a big laugh out of it, and we chatted for just a minute. But you get a chance to encourage somebody along the way. So, Boaz was a man of great wealth and a position with the ability to give to Ruth. You know, one thing about wealthy people, they give a lot nicer gifts sometimes than poor people. And I mean that in a worldly sense. You know, they can afford things that cost several hundred dollars, and which is good, as opposed to somebody give you a gift that, you know, maybe not quite as expensive, but has the same value of a gift. So I like what Boaz says here. He says, stay close to me. And I said, don't go and glean in another man's field, and don't go away from here. Part of the secrets of the blessings is stay close to God. Just stay as near as you can get. You know, there's sometimes people say, well, I'm just walking the line between good and evil. What are you doing walking the line? Get away from that. Get as close to God as you can. So you don't have to make decisions about whether I should do this or not do it. He said, join with others. He said, go by the servant girls. Here's my commercial. Go to church.
There you go.
And some of you are watching over YouTube and on Facebook and on our website. What are you doing at home? Go to church. If you're watching from another state, another city, go find a good Bible-believing church and get in it. We need each other. Boaz, figure that out. Go with the other girls. Be with this fellowship where you can share things. The testimonies y'all gave here this morning, you know, that's encouraging to other believers to hear that, because we all go through trials and tribulations, and to hear how God is moving in your life encourages each one of us. He said, I'll provide protection for you. I told the men to keep their hands off of you. It was dangerous. That was a dangerous time. And he said, you are protected when you're close to me. You want safety? Get as close to God as you possibly can. It's under his wings that we find the safety of God. And I love this part. He said, if you want something to drink, go get the water that man provided for you. God will take the riches and wealth of the rich and give them to you and put it in your hands. He's in the ability to do that. And when you're thirsty for more of God, he'll provide all that you need to quench your thirst. So God has the ability to favor you in the exact same way that Boaz favored Ruth. That's what this is a picture of. It's a picture of what happens in God's kingdom with Christ and the things of the kingdom that are set aside and prepared for you and I. God has a desire to favor you. Let me tell you a secret. There's no joy and there's no crown on your head if you're living in poverty. That's not to say people don't live in poverty and don't know God. But I believe God wants to prosper us. He wants to give us the things that we need and abundantly beyond that. I believe that's the kingdom. God wants to do those things. And there's no shame in wealth. Sometimes they think, well, if people are rich, you know, they don't know God. That's not true. One of the wealthiest people I know who owns Sun Oil Company, God rest his soul, he died several years ago. He and his wife were two of the most godly people you've ever met in your life. And this guy is so rich, the rich people talk about him. But he was rich in the things of the kingdom. Helmrich. His last name was Helmrich, all right? And his family, I mean, his sons inherited the business. The family still owns the whole company. And everyone in the family serves God. You know where that came from? It came from Grandma. Peggy's husband owns Sun Oil. Peggy is Pat's cousin. Her mother, Peggy's mother, was a godly woman, one of the most godly women I ever met. She's the one who sat in my house when I got called to preach, sitting on my sofa. She's a very prim and proper Southern lady, and she was sitting there with her little, nice little outfit on, and she had a little purse on her lap, and she was sitting down, and she had her hands crossed over her purse like she would. And we had just, you know, said that I was going through ministry. And she said, "Now, Morris, you make sure you preach the Bible. People don't need to hear the Reader's Digest." I can still hear her in my ear telling me that. And I've kept my word and preached the Bible. I don't preach much illustrations from Reader's Digest or anything else. God's favors are more than salvation. There's a way of life living under the banner of eternal love. And God will prosper you in ways that you never dreamed possible. So, Ruth, I'm back up here. Went too fast. Ruth prospered beyond her needs. I love this. And she got up to glean. She got up to go back to do what she was doing, all right? Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. He said, just give her. She can't. She's just a tiny thing. She can't get it all that she needs. You just take some of the good stuff and you leave it there for her. And don't make fun of her because she's poor. You know, don't make fun of her. You know, she's getting my prosperity. This is Boaz's stuff that she was getting. Just like when God begins to move in your life and begins to give kingdom gifts into your life. Things that you never expected. That's the prosperity of God moving into your life. We understand that God meets our needs, but I believe God wants to prosper us beyond our needs. Matthew chapter 6, he said that he clothes the lily of the field and feeds the birds and he takes care of all of that. And he says, aren't you worth more than many sparrows? And God wants to pour out blessings for us. We need to open the windows of our houses and our lives so that God can open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon us. The scripture says that he'll pour blessings upon us that we cannot contain. Have you reached the point yet where you say, God, I've got enough? No more blessings? I had enough blessings, you can stop now? No, if you haven't reached that point, I'll try working your way there, to that place. Preachers don't preach this very much, but there's actually a scripture in the Old Testament where they were told to stop bringing gifts. Yes. Said they had enough money, don't bring any more. We're not there yet, okay? But that's God's will. You can preach yourself into poverty if you use that scripture too much. So the commitment on your part causes God to prosper you. Pat Robertson called it the reciprocity. Yeah. You know, it's not that we give to get or we do for blessings. It's just a fact of life. It's like this. If you jump in a swimming pool, what's the first thing that happens to you? You get wet, all right? And when you follow God's plan for your life, And the scriptures and the plans for us, this, you get blessings that just come along with it, all right? Not necessarily in wealth, but in wealth that is a peace. My old daddy told me when he was in his 75, I guess, or so, and he was a young man by my standards today, and he told me, he said, Morris, if you didn't get anything else from knowing God other than peace, knowing Him would be enough. And I saw God transform a 64-year-old Italian man with a fourth-grade education into a proclaimer of the gospel. He probably led more people to the Lord than anybody else I've ever known. He worked in a factory, and I'm telling a story that using up my time, but that's okay, it's a good story. He worked in a factory, and he was a laborer, and he used to bring his lunch pail, and he kept his Bible in his lunch pail. And people used to poke fun at him because he would open his lunch pail, eat his lunch, and get his Bible. And they would ridicule him and say, hey, look at the preacher, reading the Bible, and just really. He said they gave him a hard time. But my dad, over the period of time, talked to the men who worked there about Christ and started leading them to the Lord. Before my daddy left that plant. By the way, the only reason my dad worked there, because when he got saved, and he said, I don't know how to preach or sing or do anything, but I know how to work. Everything he made working, he gave to the Lord. 100% of it. That was his ministry. Before my dad left that place, when he got too old where he couldn't work anymore, there were men all over that yard at lunchtime would open their lunch kits and pull out their Bibles and read their Bibles.
Oh, wow.
Shows you what God can do with a single solitary man. My dad was never rich in earthly things, but he was wealthy beyond anybody I've ever known. The blessings of God. And now he's enjoying heaven's, went through heaven's gates, and I'll get to see him again. So I look forward to that. So the commitment on your part causes God to prosper you. Ruth was doing what she knew how to do. She wasn't lazy. She just got to work. Did what she could do. When I got out of seminary in the first church of anywhere, didn't call me up and ask me to be their pastor. Pat said, what's the last word you heard from God? I said, the last word I heard from God was to wait on the Lord. She said, well, why don't you just get busy in doing that? I went to my pastor. I said, what do you need done around here? He said, well, we have a class they could use to teach. I said, I'm your man. And I've been working ever since. I haven't stopped. Can't keep up with myself sometimes. Boaz gave her what she did not earn. He gave her grace. She wasn't entitled to any more than just gleaning. The law said that she could glean. That's the way the poor live. But this rich man said, pull some of the good stuff out. Pull some of those $100 bills out and give them to her, so to speak. Give her food beyond her measure and beyond what she needed. Boaz instructed the workers, don't you embarrass her, don't stop her from what she's doing, and don't rebuke her, don't give her a hard time. She's under my divine protection. And you know, that's what God does with you as a believer. He says to the enemy and everyone else, keep your hands off of her. Don't get so uppity and rebuke them or get other people to rebuke them. God is watching over. Some of you need to hear this, that God is watching over you today. Sometimes we think that God's watching us because he wants to make sure we're not doing something wrong. That's a Santa Claus story. The Bible story is God's watching over you because he cares about you. He sees your every need. It talks about the scriptures when God spoke to Moses. He said, I've heard the cry of my people. Beloved, when you cry, God's heart cries with you. And God moves heaven and earth to bring you comfort in your time of need. There's nothing wrong with receiving the blessings of God in your life. Somebody said one time that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and we keep asking him for it a hamburger at a time. Maybe we should ask him to cut out a few heifers and send them by. Now, whatever you need, ask God to bless you. And I believe that God will do that. Just make sure your needs are met according to his riches and glory, and not according to your ability. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about is Ruth's future was beyond her imagination. Naomi, remember Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law, and when she found out what Boaz had done, when Ruth came home and told the story, this is her response. The Lord bless him. She must have been a southern lady. The Lord bless him, all right? The Lord bless him. Bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. The dead were her husband and her sons that were gone, all right? She added, that man is our closest relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. And I'm going to talk to kinsman redeemer next week, God willing. But today, to close this up, Ruth had no idea what God had in store for her. She set out to beg for food, and she found favor from Boaz. She was trying to survive. Other people filled her basket for her. She just wanted to be close to Naomi, and she became David's great-grandmother. Wow. You talk about imagine this poor foreign girl receiving all of those blessings. You think she ever got tired of saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord? So how big is your vision? Whatever your vision is, it's not big enough. You need to think bigger. Now, some of you in this room, and I'm not going to point you out, some of you think you're too old for God to use you. Well, other than Miss Rose sitting here, I'm the oldest person in the room, all right? And I'm not that far behind her. As I said, you're the only one sitting here, and you're not too old. I think you're too old to do anything for the Lord when they throw the last handful of dirt over you. You know, other than that, just stay engaged and do what you can do. Don't try to be me. Don't try to be someone else. Try to be what God wants you to be. Here's a good prayer for you. Lord, and it's an old prayer from the book of Isaiah. Lord, what would you have me to do? And that's the question. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I believe God will answer that prayer and open doors for you. So God's plan for Ruth was more than she could imagine, and God's plans for you is bigger than your vision. It's a book that I read of a guy by the name of Tozer, A.W. Tozer. And he says, our problem with God is we have a little, he didn't use this word, but I mean, we have a little stick man God instead of seeing the glorious God who created the heavens and the earth. So how big is your God? You can't ask anything more from God than the vision of what you think God's able to do. Now, think about that for a little bit. Is it big enough, like the Gideons, to change the world?
Yes.
Or you just think he'll just change your house? What about your neighbor's house? What about your town? What about your community? I've seen firsthand what God can do if you just give him a chance and take him at his word that he's bigger than you think that he is.
Right.
Ruth didn't know that Boaz was more than a benefactor, that she would learn, and we'll talk about it next week, that he was a kinsman redeemer. He redeemed her from a life of poverty, a life of being a foreigner. He gave her status. He gave her wealth beyond measure. He took Naomi in, the lady that she loved, and the blessings poured out onto her. She had a child who had a child who had David the king. And if you follow that a little further, you'll find out she was in the lineage of Jesus the Lord.
Yes.
Now that's a pretty big vision, huh? Amen. 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 Boaz redeemed Ruth and Naomi from poverty, and he made them heirs to the kingdom of God. Amen. That's how God wants to favor you, commitment and favor from God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this wonderful story of Ruth and Boaz that has been preserved down the age, through the ages for us. That we can read about it today and be built up on our most holy faith. Just thinking about all that happened to those two ordinary people, human beings. But when you were in the mix, you changed it all. Father, we thank you that we could learn from this story about who you are and how much you care for us. Lord, I know that some that are watching and some in this room are going through hard times, but you're the God who changes the hard times into the best times. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and what you'll continue to do in our lives. We encourage us today, Father. Build us up on our most holy faith. Thank you for David coming and bringing good news today. Yes. Ask you to bless him and his lovely wife, his entire family, and the Gideons. I pray we come out today to be with us and our church. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all things. In the glorious name of Jesus. And all the kids said,
amen. Amen.
And one last thing, Lord, if I know this is selfish. I shouldn't ask for this in public. But if you let Joe Burrow win a Super Bowl tonight, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Pray out to you.